Thank you for downloading this message from Grace Christian Fellowship. We pray that you receive encouragement from the study of God's holy word and that you will grow in the faith and understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ.
What do you value? What's important to you? That's why I have stuff today. Does anybody know what this is? What? A tire iron? No, it's... it is a billy club. It is a hand-turned single piece of some really dense hardwood that you could really, really hurt somebody with. This belonged to my great-grandfather when he was a cop. It's important to me. I value this because it is a part. There's dents in here, too. Now, I don't know if it's because he hit somebody with it or because my grandfather, his son, who was not a cop in any way, shape, or form, used it to... for other purposes. But it's something that's important to me, something that I value. I like to think of myself as, I just enjoy my family history. And I have to tell you, I come from a long line of unimportant people. But that's okay. It's important to me, right? So my great-grandfather, I also have my great-grandfather's sidearm that he used as a police officer, but I really didn't think it was appropriate for me to bring that here today and brandish it in front of, hey, guess what this is, as everybody hits the dirt. But it was interesting to me when I got it, I was looking at it and it was missing the front sight on the pistol. And on the side of it, by the way, it says JCP, which is Jersey City Police Department, and has the number on the side. And they gave him that at his retirement. And I was, looking at it one day and I couldn't figure out why it was missing the front sight. It doesn't really matter. It's, the gun is from the late 1800s. I'm not going to fire it, but I was just kind of curious. And as I was doing research on it, it turned out that police officers, it's only a 32, by the way, because that's what police officers carried then. And it's missing its front sight because so the officers could pull it from their holster easier. And so it was just common practice at the time to actually remove that. Something else that I have is also, this is from, I'm trying to look for the date, October 7th, 1902. And that is my grandfather received a medal for when he was an officer, the Bronze Cross of Honor. I have no idea what that means. But he received it, and he got this commendation, for running into a burning building to save some people. And I think that's really cool, and I'm going to set this stuff over here. Because, again, it's valuable to me. That means absolutely nothing to anyone in this room. Legitimately, if your house was on fire, would you save my stuff? No. Because it's not your house. It's not valuable to you. And frankly, it's really not all that valuable to anybody. It's if you think about it, it's a piece of paper and a stick, right? Ultimately, it's a piece of wood that somebody took some time with, and it's a piece of paper that somebody put their signature on to commemorate something. It's valuable only to me. And I shared that with you to kind of show you that it's really not that valuable. It's like going to a friend's house and seeing their vacation pictures, right? It's okay. I mean, it's great that they've got a picture of the Grand Canyon, but you weren't there. You've got no idea what I... It's a picture of a hole in the ground, right? It's not valuable to you. What is valuable to you? What's important to you? And it's funny because you can tell what's valuable to some people by spending time with them, right? I'm going to call up Ben because, frankly, he's the only one I can see in the bright lights. Thanks, Ben. I know that education is important to Ben. I know that learning things is important to Ben because Ben always has a book in his hand. And it's always a different book, by the way. I just want to point that out. It's not the same book. I'm going to get this one down. No, that's not how that works. Ben learns something and he wants to learn more, so he moves along. So I know that's important to him. He values that. And that's true with all of us, right? You can tell what people value by what they do. But just because it's valuable to you doesn't make it valuable to other people, right? Because they don't see the intrinsic value in it. I mean, certainly I see the value in education. Maybe not specifically, you know, because I don't, you know, it's not like I get up close and personal with Ben, what you reading? I don't know. So maybe it is something that would be incredibly important to me, but education is important to me, maybe not the specifics. Well, when you look through Scripture, there's some definitive evidence of individuals who thought something was important. And so important that they were willing to, I don't know, some of them were willing to lay down their lives or risk harm for it, right? When you look you don't need to pull up the slide right away, but when you look in Daniel, and Pastor Jim was talking about this passage the other day, where King Nebuchadnezzar, they built this big statue, and anytime there was something going on, everybody was supposed to bow down and worship at this statue. And the issue was, for those Israelites that were taken into captivity, they couldn't do it because they wouldn't worship idols. It was just something that they wouldn't do because they are not allowed to worship idols. They worship God and God alone. And so you had these three individuals who were working for the king, and really these guys had set them up, right? The other people in Babylon wanted these three guys gone. And so they set them up. They had the king create this decree about bowing down and that sort of thing. And so these three guys wouldn't do it. Go ahead and bring up the passage. In Daniel 3, verse 16, and it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were told that you had to, you know, this is what you have to do. If you do not bow down to this, we're throwing you in a furnace. That's the New Michael translation. But in Daniel 3, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. And I love this passage of scripture because they believed that the Lord would save them. But I love the passage that says, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to do it. They knew what was right. Serving their Lord was valuable to them. It was everything to them. It was the most valuable thing in their lives. And they weren't afraid, which is, I would have been afraid. I would love to say that I would be all confident, like, oh, God's going to save me or whatever. I'd just, there'd be a lot of screaming and that sort of thing, I think. But they relied on their faith and in their knowledge of God, which they valued more than their own lives, right? At that moment, at that time, it was very clear what they valued. It would have been easy to do this thing. All they had to do was bow down. That's it. They didn't even have to mean it. All they had to do was bow down. But even if they were faking it, it still wasn't right to them. It wasn't the right thing to do because their relationship with their Lord was more important. And again, they believed he would save them, but ultimately, they were okay if he didn't. They believed wholeheartedly that their Lord would save them from the furnace. But even if he didn't, they still weren't going to do it. And they demonstrated the value that they put in this relationship with God by their actions, right? Just like anybody else, you can tell what's valuable to them by their actions. And in this particular moment, at this particular time, this was the most valuable thing to them. Their walk with the Lord, them doing right in the sight of God was far more important than anything else. This is what they valued. Well, obviously, they're not the only ones, right? Scripture, there's a lot of examples. King David. Excuse me, apparently I'm very thirsty. King David. Everybody knows about David and Goliath, right? Back when I was a kid, they used to have a claymation thing called, that was Davy and Goliath, right? The dog, and it was, yeah, I said, thanks, Davy. Look it up on YouTube later. And so, you know, we know that David went out there and he defeats Goliath. I'm sorry, I'm laughing because, you know, when you prepare for a message, you know, you reread scriptures and sometimes something really sticks out to you. And so I'll talk about the scripture before, but we know that David goes out there and he slays Goliath, excuse me, and he cuts his head off and he holds it up. But then the scripture says he goes back and he talks to Saul. He still has the head. If you look at the scripture, he still got it with him when he goes talk to Saul. It's like, if I cut somebody's head off, he'd be like, and throw it away. But like, David just kind of carried it around for a while. It's like, how you doing? I'm good. Anyway, read it on your own. I just thought it was funny. Anyway, so this war is going on, and David isn't there. He's not part of the battle, right? He is tending his father's flocks. And he's out there, and he's, you know, doing what he's told. And his father sends him up to the front lines with food for his brothers, who are with the army, who's fighting the Philistines. And so Goliath keeps coming out there, and you know, saying, you know, fight me, fight me, fight me, you know, that sort of thing. And David is like, who's going to go out there? Come on, who's going to go out there? Who's going to face him? So David said, oh, I'm not putting up with this. Again, the New Michael version. I'm sure it sounds better in the original Hebrew. But he says, I'm going to do it. And he goes to talk to King Saul. Says, I'm going out there. And King Saul gives him his armor. And it's like, nah, it doesn't fit right. I'm not going to do it. Chooses some stones. He goes out there. So Goliath comes walking out, says what he's got to say. And David steps out. Goliath insults him a little bit. And David, in 1 Samuel 17:45, David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, and not with sword and spear, This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. And so he does. He cuts off his head. He carries it around for a while. But David stood up against those who spoke against God, specifically Goliath, but also to the Philistine army. And David was upset that no one else was willing to do it. This was important to David, right? He valued this, again, more than his own life. He saw these people insulting his Lord, and he defended his God's honor by going out there. He valued God's honor above his own safety. And something that we need to understand about David, right? This wasn't his first time with the Lord, right? I mean, it's not like he woke up one day and goes, I really love God. I'm going to kill that big guy. He'd walked with the Lord, right? When he was out taking care of the flocks, he was spending time with his God. He loved his God. When he was defending the flocks, you know, from bears and lions, he was loving his God. And so when this time came and he saw this thing that was happening, he valued God's honor and he stepped out because it was valuable to him, more so than his own life. And he stepped out and he did it. We need to understand, though, honoring God and seeing this as valuable doesn't necessarily equate with dying or putting your life at risk, right? Two big stories. Like, what are you talking about, Fancher? You want me to go out there and throw my life away? No. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary recognized the value of what was going on. And I love the way Martha sets this up, right? Because I don't want to imply tone, but if you walk up to somebody and go, doesn't it seem just a little strange? You're kind of trying to get them to agree with you, right? You're kind of setting them up to go, yeah, you're right, that does seem strange. And here, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Because she wanted Jesus to agree. She wanted Mary to get up and help her. And let's be honest, I don't know how you feel about food. You've seen me. I value food. I would not be the size that I am today if I did not value food. More importantly, chips and donuts. And there is value in preparing a meal for the people that are staying at your house. There is value to that, right? Scripture tells us that we're supposed to practice hospitality. So we know that scripturally that's right. But in that moment, Mary saw the value of what Jesus was saying. And that's where she was. She saw the value in it. And so that's where she put her effort. She probably knew she could have helped Martha. But in that moment, in that time, Jesus was there, Jesus was talking, and that's where she saw the value, and that's where she was. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions." When I was growing up, my Aunt Grace, she's not really my aunt. I don't know what it's like in your family, but like close friends of my family, like if they were my mom's friends growing up and they were very close, we call them aunt and uncle. My Aunt Grace is, I think, I haven't seen her really since this story, which was, yeah, we're very close. My gosh, Carter was in office, was the last time I saw her. He wore a lot of sweaters, made us turn our heat down to 68. Again, look it up on YouTube. Anyway, she was a Rockette at Radio City. Like, I couldn't just say Rockette. Had to do the kick. She was a Rockette. And at Radio City Music Hall, and her dream was to have a really big family and live in the country. And that's what she did. And I think she had 13 kids, because she had at least one more after I saw her. And I got to spend time up in their house. They had 5 acres up in upstate New York. And you know, you have a bunch of kids, you got to feed them and stuff. And so she would buy these peaches from the local farmer's market or whatever. And her kids would be outside and they would eat them. And then they would just throw the pit. And as a result, on their 5 acres, they had these peach trees. I'm allergic to peaches now. I can't eat peaches anymore. But I will tell you, the best fruit I ever had was picking a fresh peach. My mouth is sweating. Was picking that fresh peach off of the tree. Do you know how, like, you know the fruit is, like, ready to go when you barely touch it and it comes off in your hand? And this was no store-bought peach, my friend. When you bit into that thing, it was meaty and it was juicy and the skin just came right off of that thing and it was amazing. Those trees produced good fruit. And they were good trees, right? They were trees. They didn't trim them to harvest the peaches. They were climbing trees. You could climb up in there and get the peaches from the top and everything else. And it was amazing. You can see how people value things by the fruit in their life. Scripture teaches us that only the Lord can judge motivation, right? I don't know what your motivation is in life. I can't see inside of you. You can't see my motivation. And frankly, I'm not always certain I'm aware of my own motivations for things. But what you can see is the evidence or the fruit. And you can see where people put their value by where they place their efforts. You know, home, career, children, possessions, whatever. You can see what is important to an individual by what they strive for, by what they work for. And none of those things are intrinsically good or bad. They just are. What's good or bad is how much we value or where we place the value of these things over others, right? If you have children, please raise them. I really want you to raise them because someday I'm going to have to live with the results, right? That's a good thing to raise your children right. That's a very good thing. Have you ever seen a couple where, I used to laugh about this, but kind of scares me now. When I worked in an office, you could always tell if a man was married because he had a picture, a wedding picture on his desk. Didn't matter how long they were married, it was always a wedding picture. It was always the day of their wedding, his wife in his wedding gown, him in his tux on his desk. On the woman's desk, it was a little different. You could tell if she was newly married because there was a husband and wife picture on there. Sometimes it was from their wedding. It was a couple years later, maybe it was a picture from their vacation. But you could always tell when they had children. The husband's picture disappeared. And it was just their children's pictures. It was just their children's pictures. And you would see them throughout the year. Sometimes it would be a family picture, right? That was nice. Sometimes you walk by. Sometimes there was never a family picture. And years, and you'd watch their kids grow up. And the kids were gone. And either the husband or the wife put all of their energy into raising their children. And they raised their children up. They valued their children more than their spouse. And they put all their efforts there and making sure they got to their baseball games and made sure they got to this and to that and to whatever. And they ignored their spouse. And then all of a sudden their children were gone. As children are wont to do, they grow up and move away. And all of a sudden, there they were. They'd spent 18 years living together, but no time together because the children became more important than the relationship. They valued raising their children more than they valued their own relationship with each other, and all of a sudden they found themselves in a position where they didn't know each other anymore. Again, raise your children. What's more valuable? Career. Oh my goodness. Please, earn as much money as you can. That's why we work, right? I always tell people, you know, sorry, this is probably a bad manager move, but people will say, oh, my job is so hard. You know, I'm talking to my people. Oh, this is so hard. It's not that hard. I do office work, you know, and I don't even work with paper anymore. So I don't even get paper cuts. It's not that hard. And like they go, oh, it's so hard. And I actually said this to an employee. It's like, you know, this were easy. We wouldn't call it work. We'd call it hobby. And you'd pay us to do it. Right? Work is work. And we do it for the money. That's why I work. If my job stopped paying me, I wouldn't go anymore. I do it for the paycheck. I like my job. No, let me rephrase that. I like what I do. But sometimes you put all of your effort, all your time, and everything into your career. And as believers, again, we are supposed to follow Christ wherever we are. We are always supposed to be the best at what we do because that's what God wants of us. But if you value your career more than anything else, what else suffers? You only have so much time, right? There's only 168 hours in a week. I don't know how much you sleep, but that leaves us with fewer hours. You can only devote so much time and effort because you only have so much time and effort. And if you value your career over other things, again, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. What I'm saying is something else is devalued because you only have so much time. So none of these things are bad or good. It's where they are and how you value them and therefore your efforts that go behind them. In Matthew 13, 44 through 46, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it." I can't answer this next question for you. How valuable is the kingdom of heaven to you? How much do you value it? And I say that not to make you feel bad. Could be to make you feel good. But in your life, where does this fall? Because for us as believers, it should be paramount, right? It should be the first thing. And just like David, right? David didn't just all of a sudden one day appear with no relationship with God and you know, just ready to do battle. He had walked with God a long time. He'd walked in, and let me rephrase that. He was young, but he walked with God in intimacy for a long time. He had a close relationship with God. And so when that moment came and he valued God's honor above his own, he was prepared to take a stand, right? For us, if we value God, if we value God's kingdom, then really sharing Christ isn't such a big deal because we see the value in it, not just for us, but for other people, right? I showed you this stuff because it's meaningless to you. You don't care. But the kingdom of God is for everyone, right? Scripture teaches us that Jesus isn't just not coming back because he's waiting. He wants everyone to hear the word. He wants everyone to be saved. Again, the New Michael paraphrase. The kingdom of God has value for everyone. But you and I need to see it. You and I need to walk in that. So when the time comes for us to share Christ, we're not concerned. It's not a matter of stepping out and being afraid. It's a matter of, well, of course this is true. Let me tell you the great value of the kingdom of God for you. This is what it's done for me. When it comes time to invite someone to church, we don't have to be trepidatious about it because we understand the value of coming together and being in community with one another. Right? I know for a fact, I mean, how many times have we helped somebody move? I'm just the practical matters of life, spiritual things aside, right? We do things for one another because we love one another. How many times have poor Andy been helped to ask somebody move because he lifts weights? Well, you lift a lot of weights. You could lift my dresser. Come help me move. By the way, don't ask Andy to help you. I mean, go ahead and ask Andy. But if he says no, don't get offended. He's got stuff to do. And frankly, just because he's big doesn't mean he should lift your stuff. But I'm just saying. One of the greatest witnesses to my mother-in-law, she passed away a number of years ago, and I'm sorry, I don't know the exact years because I feel like I should know that. But for a time, she's from Chicago. She lived in Milwaukee close to us. She wanted to be close to Lynn Marie and close to her grandson. That didn't work out very well. But when she moved from Chicago, we loaded up the van. We got here. People from church met us at her apartment, and we had her truck unloaded in no time. And it was amazing, and it spoke volumes to her. Well, when it came time for her to move back to Chicago, because she's an Illinois person and she just really wanted to live in Chicago, people from church came and loaded up her apartment. From her, you know, storage or apartment, we loaded up in the truck in no time. She didn't know anybody who came, except for me and Lynn Marie. But it touched her, and it meant something to her. And she did get saved before she passed away. She did know her Lord before she went to heaven. And I believe part of that understanding of who God was and that sort of thing came through us. And in that moment when we needed help to do something as a community, we had people that said, yeah, we can help. And we value that, right? I love this church. I've been going to this church a very long time. Sometimes I say 1982, but really that's not true. It's 83. Since 1983. 1982 is when I met Pastor Jim, and very early 1983 is when I came to know the Lord and started calling Grace my home. And we were meeting in a bowling alley at the time, and as a guy that was raised in a very formal church setting, that was weird and awesome and wonderful at the same time. But when it came my turn to hear about the Lord, it was because Pastor Jim, then just Jim, understood the value of the kingdom of God. He wasn't nervous about it. He wasn't scared about it. It was very matter of fact because he understood the value. And look, I understand you guys have lives. Some of you have kids that are really young. Some of you have kids that are really old. Some of you, you know, you just have things. You have obligations. You have jobs. You have spouses. You have things. And you need to do those things. But where are they in relation to the kingdom of God? And again, I'm not saying this to condemn anybody. I'm doing this to encourage you because if we allow the Holy Spirit, he will show us where we're falling short, right? And maybe you don't even understand your own motivations, but just like anything else, what are the fruit that you're bearing? Are you a good tree? Let the Holy Spirit show you. But how do you value the kingdom of God? And how you value the kingdom of God means a lot because that's how the other people who don't yet know God will also value the kingdom of God, right? If you show no value to it, why would an unbeliever value it? If you understand the true value of the kingdom of God and you're walking in it and living in it, why wouldn't anybody who met you also not want that? Because it is so valuable. I just want to encourage you today. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like David, just like Mary, they were walking with the Lord and saw the value. So when the time came, they could choose what was most valuable to them. And I'm just asking you to do the same. Walk with God closely. Walk with God intimately so you can understand the value of the kingdom of God. So when your moment comes, when those moments come, that you can just step out and show the true value of the kingdom of God to those that don't yet understand. Let's pray. Father, none of us is perfect. I am not perfect. I'm so not even close to perfect, God. And Father, I want to value you more. I want to value your kingdom more, Lord. And I ask that you show me, that you help me to understand the value. Help all of us understand your value of you, of your kingdom, of living your life, Lord, so that we can share it with others. Father, so that we can have our priorities right, so we understand when all of this is done, we can stand in front of you and say, yeah, I valued you more than anything else. And Father, help us to show that value to the world. Help us to have great fruit for your kingdom, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So please stand up and receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine on you, be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance on you and give you peace.
Thank you again for downloading and listening to this message from Grace Christian Fellowship. We are located in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And if you are looking for a church to call home or would like to visit us for one of our services, please visit our site at gracecf.us for our location and service times. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.